we'll get started. I know most of you. My name's David McNeil, for those that don't know me. I'm the Assistant County Manager here for Transylvania County. And thanks for coming out. What we're going to do tonight is we have a short presentation that kind of goes over fire funding, how we currently do it, and what's currently being evaluated and considered by the commissioners. And we have one of our commissioners here, Commissioner Paige LaMail. She's going to do the presentation. And then at the end of that, if you have any questions, we'll take questions. All right? Paige?
Thanks, David. This is David's presentation, and I've only been doing this, this will be my third time going through it right now. But so I'm not going to read the slides to you. I'm probably just going to elaborate on some of the stuff that is brought up on the slides. All right, where's my pointing?
Can you speak up as best you can, Paige, because there's a slightly deaf person here.
Yes, ma'am, I'll do my best.
Thanks.
Put my camp director voice on. Oh, I'm not hitting the right button. Technology is not my friend. And I say that as an engineering major, so watch out. All right. So where we are is this conversation will be about how we have been funding fire departments, what we are doing this particular year, which you will see as a change from what we've done previously. We'll be talking about the fact that we're not changing the delivery of fire service. This discussion tonight is only about how we fund the operations of our 8 existing fire departments. We'll look at what state law lets us do, and then you have the opportunity to write questions down. You may write comments down, but I'm also happy to just do Q&A exchange with you. So I've instructed you on the cards, and what we're doing is collecting all of the questions and comments to put them on the website for the county so that all of our citizens have access to reflect on what's been said at the other meetings so you can see what the concerns are, how the questions are being answered, and then obviously you can pursue additional information through any of our staff, through the Fire Marshal's office, through Assistant Manager McNeil's office, and I'm available via email as well. So this is where I start getting tripped up, honestly. It's because the state of North Carolina defines a service district as a special tax district. When I think of service, I think of boots on the ground, fire departments rolling out, and that in my head is a service district. But the state defines things differently. So what we're talking about is you have just like two hands together. The way Transylvania County is set up right now is that we have the 8 individual fire departments who have their own response district lines. Then on top of that, we have this tax district, this service district, which is a separate entity, and it is a tax district that sits immediately on top of our response districts. So that's our current setup. So that each fire response district has a fire tax district, and in the past, each of those districts had differential rates based on their budgets. Our fire districts here in Transylvania County were established under the General Statute 153A for fire protection. Each volunteer fire department, all 8 of those, well, is it 8 or 7? City of Brevard is considered a nonprofit as well. Okay, so all 8 are independent 501c3s. So Transylvania County executes 8 separate contracts with 8 different departments.
The City of Brevard is a nonprofit, too.
Okay. To provide fire service for the citizens of Transylvania County. There is no county fire department. Some of our fire departments do have additional sources of funding. Several of our fire departments have very active auxiliaries, and those auxiliary groups raise funds to help their fire departments. It's up to the fire department themselves to choose if they want to incorporate that auxiliary money into their annual budget, or if they want to keep it set aside for special things within their fire department. Cedar Mountain Fire has a contract with Greenville County because of where they're located. They contract with Greenville County, South Carolina to provide fire service over Caesar's Head for Greenville County. These are our existing fire districts in Transylvania County. And you can see that, great thing. Okay, so here we are, Lake Toxaway Fire and Rescue. Then you've got Rosman Fire and Rescue, Conestee, Cedar Mountain, Little River, North Transylvania, and Brevard. Oh, sorry, Balsam Grove, and then Brevard Fire Department. The lines that are striped are public lands, are U.S. Forest Service lands. So the contract that we have with each of our fire departments outlines the minimum standards, minimum expectations that the county needs from those fire departments to fulfill those contracts. The fire departments respond to a request for service through the county 911 dispatch. So you're dialing one number. The only thing that Central Dispatch does not do is police department. So if you have a fire and you call 911, the fire department will be dispatched and you will have other fire departments respond in their mutual aid agreement. So even though our fire departments are all individual operations, they depend on the mutual aid of the other departments for their state ratings. So they're independent, but they cannot function alone. They cannot operate autonomously. And you can see they're dependent on to get their ratings, they have to have mutual aid. So our fire departments work very well together to provide that fire service to our citizens. In addition to the fire protection, our fire departments outside of the city of Brevard are also responsible for medical first responses, for car accidents, for rescue situations, for searches. Our fire departments do provide that first response. Within the city of Brevard, the Transylvania County Rescue Squad provides that medical first response right now. They're also the primary responder in Sylvan Valley too. Each of our eight fire departments, seven of our eight fire departments currently have some form of paid staff. That varies from department to department. Some have a full-time staff person, others may have just a part-time person. Balsam Grove is our only fire department that does not have any paid staff at this point. So a fire department works on their budget with their board of directors. They look at what they need, they look at their capital investments, and our fire departments look forward. Our fire departments are looking out 3 to 5 years to consider how they're going to need to set aside funds to acquire that new tanker truck or a new piece of equipment. They formulate their budget, they approve it through their board of directors, and then that budget comes to the county. It comes into the fire marshal's office with the assistant county manager, the budgets are negotiated, and then there's a budget recommendation that's formulated that comes before the Board of County Commissioners. The information that we receive is very complete. This is what our fire department package looks like. So it has call responses, it has volunteer numbers, it has last year's budget, the proposed budget for this year. It's a very thorough document. When we get that recommended budget, we discuss the budgets and then we approve each individual fire department budget. That all takes place before we even get to a discussion of a tax rate, because what's important is addressing the amount of money that is needed to provide the service in that district. Once the need is identified, then we retroactively look at what is our tax rate that's going to need to be set to provide the funding to meet those specified and agreed upon needs in that department. So I kind of want to skip this and just get to the picture of where the numbers were. We're just going to go over here and look at this. So fiscal year 18, county's fiscal year ends on June 30th, new year starts July 1. So fiscal year 18 would have ended June 30th of 2018. Here are fire districts, this was the budget that was approved, and then the county board of commissioners set your tax rate for those different districts. You can see that in 18, we went from a low of 4.79 cents in the Toxaway district to a high in 18 in North Transylvania at 12.79 cents. Cedar Mountain's even higher. Look at that, I can't even see that. 13.78 cents, my apologies. This is evaluation per $100 of property value. In 19, what we saw was an increase in a budget in North Transylvania that pushed them to 14 cents. Cedar Mountain is still in the 13 range. Rosman jumped from 11.59 to 1209. North Transylvania had needs, but we could not put the burden on their citizens to meet their budget that year because it would have been 23.39 cents to meet their equipment needs and their requests in their budget that had been approved. So in looking at this situation for our citizens, the commissioners agreed that we would supplement the North Transylvania budget, the $102,000, out of the reserve funds of the county, out of our general fund. So every one of our citizens in Transylvania County provided a small amount of money to supplement North Transylvania that year. The discussion among the Board of County Commissioners that was to try to get the tax rate to looking at it as a cap of 14 cents. We thought that seems like a reasonable amount to pay for fire tax. 14 cents ought to be the top. But you can see we've got the other districts rapidly approaching that 14 cents. So when it came to fiscal year 2020, if we had not done something as a county, countywide, you would have been looking at 14.31 cents in Rosman, 13.72 up in Cedar Mountain, North Transylvania would have been 21.39 cents. Part of what goes into determining the tax rate is within that specific service district is the value of the properties contained in that district. So if a district is rural, spread out, few houses, you just don't have the tax base. Other districts, you have a heavier concentration of properties, you have a higher tax base. The other piece that comes into play is what the collection rate is in the individual districts as well. So here we are. Oops, I'm sorry. Ooh, pushed the wrong buttons. Oh, golly. Fix me, please. So in our discussion, we feel like something had to change because we could just see that each district was very quickly going to start approaching that 14 cents. So we looked at, thank you, I'm deadly. So we looked at what seemed to be a place to land. And it made sense that Sylvan Valley 2, since it was at 5.5 cents previously, it would have been at 5.5 cents that year. Lake Toxaway was at 5.38, that it seemed like bottoming out at 5.5 for fiscal year 2020 was a good place to land. The balance of the funds, which I think was somewhere close to $1 million, what have we got there, David? I'm sorry. The balance of the funds came out of the county reserves, not our general fund for the budget year, but we actually pulled it out of reserves because we were holding taxes far lower than they would have been. $1.2 million out of our reserve funds. Thank you. We can't continue to pull that amount of money out of our reserve funds. It's not sustainable. Had we decided to go to a full flat tax, in fiscal year 20, it would have been 8.14 cents across the board. What that would have done is it would have given every district a tax decrease except Coxaway and Sylvan Valley 2. And they would have seen that increase to make that 8.14 cents. This discussion for a while seemed to be portrayed as a North Transylvania problem. But what I think you can see with this slide is it's not just a North Transylvania problem. By making this adjustment, North Transylvania received $201,000 in supplement. Conestoga is receiving $270,000, Little River got $249,000, and I was really interested in the fact that Rosman received $409,000 in supplement this year. Where we were on a $200,000 home, if you were in District A with the 21.39 cents per hundred, your tax bill was $427.80. If you were in District B with a tax rate of 5.38 cents, you have the same value home and you're only paying $107.60. One of the principles that we're taught as county commissioners is that we need to look at our budget and the way we operate the county in a manner that is not unfair and puts undue pressure on our citizens. And I, as one commissioner, just look at this as being incredibly unfair. Fire funding, the way we decide to fund our fire operations, lies solely and completely within the purview of the Board of County Commissioners. We have examined the state statutes. We have looked at options across the state. I was sharing with some folks earlier that I was with the Jackson County Commissioner on Wednesday, and they fund all but one of their fire departments out of their general fund. And that's certainly an option for us. We can just get rid of a fire tax altogether and just put it in as a general ad valorem tax. We've always had a tradition here of separating it out so that you see the difference on your tax bill. So we have options ahead of us to look at keeping an individual tax, the same tax rate across all these little districts. We could also go back to the way it was and have that big differential in the different districts. We also can just sort of take one large look over our individual districts and have a single taxing district. And that is the one that seems to be under consideration by our Board of Commissioners, is to go to a single tax district. What that does is we go to our municipalities, Town of Rosman, City of Brevard, and they get to decide if they want to opt in or opt out. The City of Brevard has a municipal fire department. They opted out because had they stayed in, they would have been paying county tax for fire service when they already have their own fire department. Made no sense. Town of Rosman opted into this plan. They're interested in staying in with the county because the Town of Rosman is not large enough to operate their own fire department and meet all those needs without an incredibly stiff penalty on their citizens. So here you can see that had we gone to a full flat tax, everybody would have had the same rate of 8.14 cents. We would continue, if we go to a single tax district, service district for tax purposes, then the fire department response districts in the short term would stay just as they are. So we're just discussing shifting over to a single tax district. What this does is you can see that it levels the playing field for all of our citizens on their homes. Everybody would be paying the same rate per $100 of value. That's where we are. Happy to answer questions. And this is the contact, fire input. How can I help you all?
Different fire departments have different needs.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
How do you fund that? Say, Department A needs $20,000 more than Department B. How do you go about doing that?
I think that's the key thing to understand, Mr. Mall. It's the budgeting process is not changing. So Department A this year said we need $20,000 more here, and Department B said we need $50,000 more. If that makes it through as the recommended budget, and it's approved by the Board of Commissioners, then we figure out the tax rate to fund it. That is not going to change. The fire department budgets will be set before the tax rate is set. Yes, sir.
Call volume wise, it takes more to run 500, 600, 700 than it does 200. It takes a lot more women.
Mm-hmm.
That's my whole question. I mean, how are you going to figure that out? This property department over there needs this amount. You know, they don't want to raise their taxes. I mean, that's the whole key behind it. What I'm looking at. I mean, if you got one down here, it's only extra $200 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You got one extra $700 or $800 a year.
Right.
It takes more equipment.
Absolutely.
It mm-hmm. takes more manpower to do that 700 or 800 than it does this 200 over here.
Yes, it does. Again, those budgets are going to be done exactly as you're doing them now. You figure out what your needs are. You present that to the county staff. You all negotiate with the county staff. A recommended budget comes before the county commissioners. Those budgets are approved, or we work on them a little bit and tweak them, and we approve a budget. That does not change at all from how you all are operating currently. There will be big differences in those fire department budgets because, to your point, there are big differences in what you all need to operate depending on what your response district needs. It's just like you all have specialty equipment depending on what's in your district. Some of you have, you know, dive equipment. Some of you have more ATV rescue equipment. Maybe somebody else has City of Brevard, they've got to have a ladder truck. So you all have distinct different needs that you know, your board knows, and your budgets are formulated accordingly. That all stays the same. It's just when we, the county commissioners, go through that approval process, we're still approving your budgets first. And then it is beholden on us to set that tax rate to fund what you need in that fiscal year. So instead of looking at, you know, Sylvan Valley 2 and setting it at 5.5, what we're going and looking at Rosman and looking at your tax base and figuring out that you've got to be at 14.31, what's going to happen would be that we would take each of the approved budgets and we're going to total them up, and then we just divide it across the full valuation of everything outside the city of Brevard. And that's how that tax rate would be set. Because you're the experts. You're doing the service. You know, the budget process is not going to change. Yes, ma'am.
Paige, are they going to do anything about changing the lines of the districts?
The lines of the districts, I mean, they're certainly... It's interesting. I will tell you, my dad was a county commissioner back in the 70s. And somebody just gave me his brochure from 1976, where he spoke specifically about improving fire service in Transylvania County. And in that period of time, a lot of our districts were forming and then becoming 501c3s and all that kind of stuff. I don't even know if 501c3s were there in the 70s, but they were getting organized. And these were very community-based. You know, when the community started and the need was identified, you had the volunteers that went out and worked hard and pulled this together. The auxiliaries were raising the money, and they were getting these fire departments put together. In the year 2019, if you got up above Transylvania County, you looked down and you looked at the location of all of our fire departments, you'd probably say, gee, if I could start from scratch, I would do this differently. But the burden of having a tax district associated with a response district makes that extraordinarily challenging. If we're able to go to a flat tax district, then it helps us in redrawing response lines that would provide more, possibly better service. And by better, I don't mean better in the response of the fire departments, but it might give you a shorter response time if you're aligned with a different district. We just haven't had that opportunity because of that tight association between the tax district and the response district.
Can you tell me approximately how long it's been since the existing boundaries have been adjusted? I think that it's probably been several years.
Well,
there's been a lot of changes.
We've had some tweaking. Yeah, we've definitely done some tweaking. Petely and Sylvan Valley, too, we've done some tweaking. But that's David's department.
The last revision of the maps, I think, was 2008 is when they were done. And that's when we actually looked. They used to be kind of like a circle. They were But then we went and put them along boundary lines is what we did during that time. And what the commissioner was saying is accurate. You've got service districts, and those are tax districts, but those are also the response districts. And so that means the line is attached to the funding that they get, because that's who gets taxed for it, and the line's attached to the response. If we went with a countywide rate where everybody pays the same rate, where we have a countywide tax district, but then we have response districts, then you don't have to go through the large statutory process if you need to change a line. For example, let's say Lake Topsway builds a substation, all right, and where they build that substation means they're closer to another district, to several homes in another district. Then at that point, it might be that we need to look to see if we need to change the response district lines. What we need to do, though, when that happens is we got to communicate with the fire departments, because we need to make sure there's not going to be any harm to either fire department. In other words, we don't want to harm their insurance rate, because there's a lot of things that are involved in the insurance rate. So we just wouldn't do it on our own. We talk to both fire departments. And I'll tell you, there's areas now. We have areas that are in one particular district that if we changed them to another district, they would drop from a 9E to a 5. Because of a substation that was built. And so, but the process for doing that is very difficult, very cumbersome to do that now. It requires a public hearing. You got to go through a long process because they're tax district lines. And if you eliminate that process, then we can work together to do what's best for the citizens along those lines.
How many substations have been built since the lines were changed? How many new substations have you put in?
Since 2008, I think.
No, it wasn't.
Since the lines were done, 2008?
Three.
Since the lines were done? I think. Yeah.
Three.
Were y'all stationed?
No, ours was 99. Ours was 99.
So I'm thinking Little Rivers and Conestees.
And Roswell.
Doesn't have a substation there.
Conestees was there before.
I think it was before that, 2008. Yeah. I think since 2008, it was just Little River, is what I think. Conestees was about 2004 when they put that in, if I'm not mistaken. David's here. It was about 2004 when we
named it. That's what
it was,
I think.
Yeah.
So, all right.
So your basic opinion is that if you go into a flat tax, then the service areas would be upgraded to response time being driven as a criteria rather than the tax base.
If you move in that route, then you can look at operational effectiveness as the main driver for what your response district lines are. Absolutely, because you take the funding equation out of it, because you're going through the budget process, you approve their budgets like that. Because what happens now if you change that district line now? Then what will happen is the property tax rate will go up in one district because they lose property valuation, but it could possibly go down in another district because they gain property valuation.
I'm certainly never made people feel an awful lot safer at night when the fire alarm goes off.
Right.
Okay, I've been to all the meetings you have. I've not asked a whole lot of questions. I feel the citizens of the community that they live in should have the opportunity to do that, and since this is the community I live in. First, from the slide presentation, it basically appears the commissioners created this disparity by approving the budget that equaled over 21 cents without a sustainable way of addressing it. And then it seemed to be knee-jerk reaction after knee-jerk reaction beyond that point. We went from a 14 cent cap to a 5.5 cent hybrid to a proposed flat tax, it would be 8.14. Three department chiefs have already stated that if the flat tax passes, they're going to ask for a big increase next year in their budget, just because they're no longer limited to funding. So what's the new cap? What happens when it gets up to 10 or 14 again? What's the answer long-term down the road? Is there a cap?
I think the challenge, Terry, is going to be to look at options of functioning together. And I think you have, by going to a flat tax, what we are doing is making it easier to move service, to move the response districts around. Additionally, I think we've got substantial challenges facing us regarding volunteerism, paid staffing. I mean, there are a lot of big issues. And I think collectively, I feel very driven to consider best practices from across the state and start learning more to prevent exactly what you're talking about. But personally, I see this as a first step in having this larger conversation about long-term planning for the location of substations, our delivery of emergency services, and everything. This is not just about the immediate fire department. We've got to provide really good emergency services, and you all are one part of effective emergency services for our citizens.
What about going being municipal, just like the police department is within the...
Well, and 25 years from now, maybe we have a county fire department. I don't know. But I think, we really want to study this issue, gather information. David and I have both approached counties on understanding fire advisory committees, engaging citizens who bring interest and expertise to the topic, who can work with the chair of the Chiefs Association and other folks to really talk about what do we want it to look like in this county.
How do you as fire chiefs feel about being part of the county wide, just like the police
don't
department is?
Yeah.
Don't want it.
Yeah.
None of you want it. Why do you not want it?
Lose your identity, one thing.
It's
why should we buy equipment for it to go to another part of the county? That's what they would do. If they wanted to park our equipment, they could take it somewhere else.
You lose your identity, like Boston Road Fire Department, that's part of their community. And like Rob, and like it's all established to begin with. Community building is fire departments that we got down, the way it's set up now, and it's part of their community. It's sort of like a school. I mean, that's part of the community.
The school is part of the community. It's part of the municipal funding.
I mean, they're there to support the community. That's what they're there for. We all do.
I mean, when I come in the fire department, we raised our money to get what we got. And I don't want it to go into another fire department.
If I may speak to that, there's no plans for the equipment to be owned by the county.
Was just talking about the question about county.
Okay. I just want to clarify, the county doesn't have any right to come in and take a fire department's equipment. It
right.
belongs to that fire department.
That's why I was explaining to her that.
It belongs to that fire department, not to the county. And so we couldn't come in and take one and take it to another district. That's not the case.
And I think we do, we really do appreciate and recognize what centers of these communities the fire departments are. I mean, they're just as valuable as our community centers in terms of bringing a community together, working together, spending time together, supporting each other. And I don't think that's one of the reasons that the county has no interest in forming a countywide fire department. In these... it's the tradition here that neighbors help neighbors, and you've got that happening in these fire departments.
You've mentioned a couple of times about studying the issue, but in the Transylvania Times and in the commissioner's presentation that was given back a couple months ago, a vote for this was initially set for the end of January. At Williamson Creek, it was mentioned that it may come up for a vote in April or May.
Mm-hmm.
How much studying on the issue can you do between now and the end of January to make this determination?
Well, we've had a few things come up, Terry, so stuff gets pushed a little bit, We've had some stuff going on, and it's just a matter of when can we get it on the agenda. In terms of studying it, the issue in front of us right now is the fire tax amount and how it's going to be collected. And I don't, at this point, that is the only focus of discussion for us.
Without checks and balances and a plan in place, it's, like I say, how is this plan going to really work any better than any other plan?
It's worth a try. And you've got, I'm getting professional advice. from fire marshals, from the Office of the State Fire Marshal, from Assistant County Manager, from Emergency Services. I am very dependent as a county commissioner on my staff's recommendations and advice. And I'm trusting them to work with you all on determining what's best for your communities in your fire departments.
But no one has any background or experience in a flat tax situation dealing with the 8 departments.
There are counties across North Carolina who have done that.
But the people that you're relying on to...
Sure, but you don't either.
No, I don't either.
So let's give it a try. You know? I mean, y'all, Terry, you are highly opposed to this. I know that.
Right.
And you are the luckiest department. You work for the luckiest department in the county.
I work for them, but I live in Rosby.
I understand that.
So I'm on both sides of it.
Yeah.
And you know, let me say something, man. I finally got on our side of the county over here. I've attended any one of the meetings in case for young don't know who I am. I'm Harmon West, I'm the chief of Clay Cotswold. And yes, Terry worked for me. And we are going to take the biggest hit on the flat tax. Because you can look up here at it, at we're at 5.38%, and we have the biggest budget. But I got the answer to the people in my district when their tax rate goes to 8.14. And I want to make this clarification. Yes, we have mutual aid, okay? And I'm proud to go help any department. But when it comes down to Lake Toxway, there's one department in this county can help me with my rate, and that is Rosby. I get help from Cashier, I get help from Boston Grove, I might get help from North Carolina.
Do you think that it is equitable for the very wealthy landowners, property owners in Lake Toxaway to have a much, much lower rate than the relatively indigent living from, paycheck to paycheck, and they're paying 3 or 4 times as much? That doesn't make much sense to me.
Okay.
But the county, of all the services that are being provided, this is the only sliding tax rate, and it's very inequitable to the lower incomes. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. And the response to that question that I would have is is my understanding from the county that every tax is the same in the county for the property taxes. Okay? The county property taxes are the same. The fire taxes is different. The people that live up there, they choose to live up there. And I've told everybody, you're welcome to come to Toxaway and live.
If they could afford it, Carmen, they might do it.
But guess what? I got a little house up there and I have to pay them taxes too. I mean, you have a right to live where you want to live. You know, we even had this statement that was made, and Paige made this statement. And this, to me, is a very unfair statement. She said that people that have second houses and third houses, that them houses don't have the same value as somebody's primary residence. Well, when you call the fire department, I don't ask, was this your second house? Is this your third house? Every piece of property has the same meaning to me and to my department. Everything's the same on the scale. And because them people up there have money, that don't mean I got money. But some way or another, I've managed to live up there and be a fire chief. So, you know, I've got to, when we go to the Quebec Community Center and they come down there, then I'm going to say the same thing, that your fire taxes is going to go up by 3 cents, 3.5 cents, whatever it is. And yes, we're going to get the same amount of money, but that 3.5 cents that they collect you is going throughout the county.
And Carmen, you've been very complimentary of Rosman for the mutual aid. And when they roll out, they have paid 2.66 times the amount of tax to come up and help you.
Exactly.
Their citizens are paying 2.66 times to provide you with that assistance. It's not, when you're looking at essential services, and you're not going to take the hit on the fire tax increase, I am. And I already have, thanks to the letter that you sent out to all your citizens. And I've responded to every single person who's written me about this. But this is, I just, as one person living in this community, I look upon fire tax as essential as emergency services, as our schools, as our law enforcement, and I do not feel that it is fair to charge our citizens such a substantially different rate for an essential service. And it, you know, it is very hard, and I know it is a burden to look at tax increases. And I certainly, in a potential election year, would not want to do anything to raise taxes. But out of consideration for the quality of life for all of my citizens in Transylvania County, this to me is the fairest way to do this.
As far as mutual aid goes, I mean, that's extremely accurate. For Rosamond, the only departments that count for mutual aid for our rating, to help our rating, is Lake Toxaway, Brevard, and Conestee's substation only. Their main station does not count. So it's only the trucks that are in those three buildings that assist Rosamond as far as the rating goes. Now, true, any station can call on anyone else for help any time. If Cedar Mountain calls tonight and they need manpower and they need help, we'll go help them. We don't care. They'll come help us if they got the availability. To the best of my knowledge, and I emphasize that part, no department has ever went to another department and said, y'all need to get a bigger tanker or a bigger engine or something to help us on our rating for mutual aid. Each department is independent, and if a neighboring department has a piece of equipment that helps you out, that's great. But if they can't afford it, didn't buy it, I don't know that it's ever been asked of anyone to go buy something that was outside of their budget or they couldn't afford it, just to try to help the rating number of a neighboring department. And addressing another statement you made about Lake Toxaway and the property valuations, there are some huge houses and there are some big property valuations up there. Sapphire and Burlingame has a few as well. Once you move outside those areas, there's a lot of poor and destitute areas in that district as well. It's a very large district, and as soon as you get a mile away from the lake, as soon as you get into Sapphire, there's a lot of very poor citizens that live up there in that district as well.
And those areas exist in every single one of our districts. They really do.
A lot of people have this idea, though, that Lake Toxaway is all just mega rich.
No, it's not.
And it's 67 square miles, and I don't know the exact square mileage of the upper level that you're speaking of, but it's a pretty small area of those two parts of it.
But that's where I struggle in charging people in other districts in those destitute areas 2, 3, and 4 times when I'm charging.
I mean you're not going to hurt the people in Lake Toxaway estates that can probably afford to pay a huge percentage increase, but you are going to hurt the people outside of those two areas that are important.
But why should other people in other districts who are just as destitute pay so much more for the same service, Terry?
Well, but every district is different, and they're not getting the same service. If everyone was a ISO 7 across the board, and everyone had the same size district with the same roads and the same response time, then you would be getting the same service. You're not getting the same service. It varies in every department and every district across the county, and always will.
So charge them more for less service, huh?
Who says they're getting less service? North Transylvania's getting ISO 4. So how are they getting less service? They're getting better service than Balsam Grove, Rosman, Toxaway.
If I can speak to that a little bit, that's not accurate.
Well, it's not accurate. Aren't they on ISO 4?
Just because they got an ISO 4 doesn't mean they're getting better service. Because you know as well as I know.
In the opinion of the state, they are.
Those ISO ratings are based on a lot of different things, including road miles in your district and things like that. That's not accurate about the better service. And keep in mind that for a resident, which is the majority of the North Transylvania district, anything below a 6 doesn't benefit them at all.
That is correct.
And so
that is correct.
That's accurate to say that.
So who's getting the better service?
I wouldn't say which one's getting the better service, because I think that's subjective. That's a very subjective
thing. The state says they are.
That's a very subjective thing.
I agree with you. It's subjective. So if you agree that none of us have the ability to answer that, how do you make these determinations as to who's getting equal or better service? So how do you make this
flat tax?
How do you make this flat tax decision?
Because I believe in being fair to everyone, Terry. And what we have right now is just not fair. It's not.
Honesty and Lake Toxaway have got two huge fire stations with all the fancy equipment that you can possibly want. And they are in the lowest tax districts. Mm. We live in little North Transylvania, Grossman area, and we are paying three times more. The people who are on very, very fixed incomes and barely making a living wage were having to pay an enormous amount more. My taxes have gone up $500 in the 10 years that I've lived here. And because we got the flat tax this year, fortunately, we missed out paying another $200 because our fire tax went down. It's not fair. It's absolutely not fair.
Mine's went up there for $500.
I mean, you can't keep raising people's taxes like that.
That's interesting.
This is
okay. Going. You're raising the tax one.
Pardon?
You're going to raise tax one.
And I'm raising mine because I'm in Sylvan Valley too.
And then you're going to raise everyone's to what's the new rate going to be?
It depends on what y'all come up with in your negotiations with on the budget. I mean, we can make the circular argument. Obviously, right. Lake Toxaway is highly opposed to what's being proposed. Even though, Terry, you got an 8.81-cent decrease in your taxes because you're in Rosman.
And if it'll stay at that, I will be happy.
Uh-huh.
But it's not going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So where is it going, Paige?
I can't answer that, Terry. I'm trying to do the very best I can for my citizens in the short term right now, and then we'll continue this conversation and bring it on, come to every one of my county commission meetings and speak against it.
I'm curious as to, when you get a chance, at some point, we're going to do it now, why you say it's going to go up. I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, unless you're saying we're going to translate our budgets to make it go up, if that's what you're saying, then that's hurting your people. I wouldn't think you would do that.
I'm basing that on we're at 5.5 this year.
Oh, you mean 8.14.
So it's going to go 8.14.
Now, the commissioner has mentioned, and you can talk
about well, right, and I don't...
Excuse me, say. And three chiefs have already stated publicly that they're going to ask for an increase next year.
Well, I can't imagine they would do something that they didn't need.
I didn't say whether they did or not. They have stated that they're going to ask for an increase.
We had
that's all I can tell you.
Asked for last year.
Right. I mean, all eight of them might. I don't know. But three have already stated that they would ask for an increase.
Mr. Carter has a question.
One clarification. The 8.14 cents, which was the flat
would have been. If that's what,
yeah,
if we had put it in effect.
Was that calculated before or after Bavard opted out?
It doesn't include that area.
Yeah, that was taking them out.
Just like it's done right now. It's the property valuations we have now, the budgets we have now and the collection rate we have now. Okay. We've revolved off of that in the same way.
Yes. Okay, and that, and then have you all considered in some calls charging, like for some places charge on automobile accidents for the rescue because the insurance will pay for it. And then some areas, especially in Colorado and areas, they charge for these long drawn out searches that are taxing the departments and things like that. Has that been considered by emergency services?
Actually, Burke County kind of tried to lead the way with charging for those rescues.
Yeah,
and it's very limited as to what you can do. I think when they got into it, they were like, this wouldn't work. So we're trying to get a little bit of learning the lesson.
But it's absolutely something.
But in North Carolina, the rules are different than they are in Colorado as to what we can do.
But it, and I don't know whether you could do it, the Forest Service out west does the charge and then reimburses the departments that come to do the rescues. But it gets terribly expensive.
And I think you're right. And having conversations like that, being advocates, mm-hmm. with our state representatives, because we can only do that which the state specifically allows us to do, and then with the amount of federal lands we have here, all worthy of conversation with our representatives in with Congress and with our state.
But folks. From Chapel Hill that came to give the commissioners mm-hmm. a presentation on what their options was, she made it very clear that fee structures are very limited in North Carolina based on the laws.
But that doesn't mean we can't get some of the laws changed. And I think particularly because of the increase in these outdoor adventure, higher risk activities that we're seeing. And
while I've kind of took it off the subject.
That's all right.
Are there any funding going to be from the county trying to figure out how to retain and recruit volunteers? I don't know if it's tough.
No, you're right. And there was a really good show on North Carolina Impact mm-hmm. on public television about New Hope and Chapel Hill and what they're doing, and they actually have introduced an academy in the high schools that's an elective course that I've actually talked to Blue Ridge about already, that if we could put the training course just to introduce our young people to opportunities in really emergency services.
We get them trained and then they can't find a job here in the middle of the way, and we've trained it for somebody else.
Well, but we've got, as we see the volunteer base shrinking, we are going to need more people with those skills, and we're going to end up having
to employ them. Few people, but they're about my age, and we're kind of limited on what
sure.
we can do.
Well, and Greenville County has a very unique program, and I think somebody told me Forsyth County is doing this, where they operate a ghost station mm-hmm. of firefighters that would allow if you need a part-time person in this department and this department needs another part-time person, maybe it's a 212s, I am no expert on this, so let me say that up front. But if one department needed a part-time person and another department needed a part-time person, maybe there's a third department that needs one, that you could, by operating a ghost station, you could provide a full-time equivalent job to a firefighter, but yet they'd be filling these part-time positions in these different departments. And that is, these are all conversations to have about the future of fire service. Yeah. And it's not, the volunteer issue is not unique to us. It is across the state and probably across the country, honestly.
Right. I got a friend from Murray, Monroe, going. I got the same problem.
Yeah.
They ain't enough firefighters, and they can't even get them from Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, anywhere else for
them. Yeah.
Because it's too far away.
Right.
It's like us trying to get somebody from Asheville to work here. Mm-hmm. It's too far away. They want a short distance to travel to work 24
sure.
hours.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's why they make their money.
Well, and I know that, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, heavens. There was, at one of these meetings, the statement was made, well, if we had better jobs in Transylvania County, we wouldn't have a problem with volunteers. But yet you go down to the triangle, and they've got plenty of great jobs, but people are living in, Chatham County, and they're working in Wake County. So it still doesn't help you with those turnouts on those calls. So we've got a lot of challenges ahead of us, but this is our attempt to start heading in that direction of looking very collectively and globally as a county at our emergency services and fire delivery. And I'm never going to make Lake Toxaway happy.
Well, I appreciate being able to pay a fire tax. I remember we only had one fire department in the county, the bar. You know, it took a while to get up here, and 1962, we had a house burned down on Church Street out here. And Gloucester Lumber Company had a couple of hoses. They had a little old hydrant down there, and you know, the houses are close together, so they saved one on each side before it got here. And through all that, Austin Hoggett was the mayor, Doc Osborne, Donnelly Butler, Mitchell Bissell kicked in, and you know, Roslyn bought a little old truck for $1,500, went to New Jersey and got it. You know, we evolved out of that. We didn't have a fire tax. A few years later, Donnelly Moore was county commissioner. It was about, I don't know, 69, 70. We struck a deal with him. He got us $50 a fire call. Every fire call we ran. And I sat up there in that building. We passed a hat to take up money to get to buy enough gas to put in a fire truck. I mean, it was, you know, coming up out of the ground. And, you know, you mentioned ladies' auxiliary. They had, if it hadn't been for them, we wouldn't have survived. I ate so many hot dogs, I felt like Oscar Mayer.
I had fun. I came to the, I think Roslyn's 50th and had hot dog dinner. It was close
yeah,
to
we started Halloween.
Right at Halloween a couple years ago. It was great. Enjoyed it.
You know, Roslyn, we evolved with the, Dan Murray was chief at the bar, and he'd come up every Sunday, and he'd help us, you know, get online what we needed to do. You know, we got going. We helped Balsam Grove get started, helped Talksway get started, and you know, but it was hard back then, and these people that, you know, need equipment and don't have it, I can feel where they're coming from. But it's but a fire tax is a good thing. Everybody's paying now. We don't have to eat hot dogs.
Oh, you can still eat some good hot dogs. And I guess what I want you to know personally about me is that my business, I had the largest fire property loss in the history of the county in 2005. So, I started learning about fire departments through that experience, and I advocated very early on for paid firefighters. And it was very hard lessons, but I really do believe in what our fire departments do, and I support them wholeheartedly. And
absolutely.
I just see this as
we're complaining. We're happy to pay our fire tax. We need them.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's got to be fair.
Yes.
They do a great job, but absolutely. And in this terrain that we have around here is very, very difficult.
Very challenging.
For them. And they do a wonderful job.
So you much rather have a paid firm?
I want to be in a position to provide for paid firefighters if the departments need them. And that's up to the individual departments to determine what their need is. But I know for some of our fire departments that have a lot of structures in the districts, having a paid firefighter, the work on pre-planning can be really, really important to those districts.
And there's a lot of things that impact that. Number of call volume. Number of volunteers you've had, because each one of the districts is different, so I don't have more volunteers than others. There's lots of things that impact when you need, you know, firefighters.
But honestly,
I
hope we never lose the spirit of volunteerism with fire, though. I think that's very important. It's a huge tradition that needs to be honored, and I'd like to see it continue with our young people.
Well, the younger generation coming on, they're not dedicated like people were 50 years ago. I mean, you know, they got too much to do.
Paige?
Yes, ma'am.
Question. Y'all take so much of our money now to the reserve fund. That's for if we have a breakdown or something like that. Are y'all going to fund a reserve fund for each fire department?
I would, that's David's question. I think there would be a countywide.
We have 8 different service districts. Statutorily, when that money is collected, it's got to be used in the district it was collected for the purpose it was collected. That's the statute. So the way the county does it now is per statute. They set it aside in that district. If you go to a county-wide rate, then anything collected for fire protection county-wide would have to go, if it doesn't get paid out to the fire departments as part of their budget, it would have to go into that reserve fund to be utilized just like it is now. If we had an apartment, the department had an emergency, they could do it. The commissioners can take it and apply to the next year's budget. It's up to the commissioners, once that money is collected, as long as they use it for the purpose it was collected in the district it was collected. So that wouldn't change. It would just be a county-wide service district versus eight different service districts.
So that's what I was getting ready to say. So it wouldn't be department-specific then?
No. It's department-specific now because that's following what the statute says.
That's the way I understood it. I just wanted to make sure.
So one department could go and ask for the whole reserve budget is what you're basically saying?
They could ask for it, but again, only the commissioners have the authority to distribute that. That currently and in the future, they're the only ones that have the authority to distribute that money. Well, and so if somebody requests it, again, we have implemented a new procedure already for how you request reserve funds. You have to go through that process. It would have to be justified, and the commissioners would have to approve it.
And we do have the backup reserves too. So if there was an emergency beyond what the capacity was in that fiscal year, we would be able to go further into the county reserve funds and pull from that as a budget amendment. So there would be other monies available if that fund was not sufficient in that fiscal year, which is where your $1.2 million subsidy came from this year.
So that could possibly be done even now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was done this year. I mean, they pulled from the county's fund balance.
Yeah, the cost of fire equipment,
it's crazy.
On average, has gone up 15% per year, every year.
It's going up.
That would be the county reserve fund, not a fund for future purchases that the department would have listed in its individual budget.
It would, if you had one countywide service district, again, statutorily, any funds collected for that purpose has to be used for that purpose in that district. And so anything not paid out to the departments as part of their regular budgets would have to be kept in that particular reserve fund.
I'm talking about the ones that's paid to the budgets paid to the department. If it hadn't got, if it's part of the budget that's going to a future purchase, which is in the reserve fund for
that's
the
department. That's
department. That's just like if something didn't expense that the department thought they were going to have, or they saved some money on something.
That's the department.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the department. Because we do have departments each year, they'll say part of their capital plan, they've got a truck planned in 5 years. And so they're setting aside $20,000 or $30,000 a year for their down payment.
Just
that's
like,
the department.
And all the auxiliary money remains with the department. The county is not taking auxiliary money or touching the auxiliary money. That is each department's money to do with what they want.
Any other questions?
Appreciate you coming out tonight.
Thank you
very much for the information.
Thank you.
You're welcome.